4CA.
Yes, it's 14 minutes past 10. Gavin King with you on the 4CA Talk Show. Well, all week I've been asking you to share your story as a victim of crime. I certainly appreciate your contributions. It's not always easy to talk about what can often be a traumatic and heartbreaking and frightening experience, but just felt it's just so important with all of the politicians in town, the government, the opposition, all of the independents, the minor parties, they're all here in our city. It's a rare opportunity for them to hear directly from victims of crime because so often the focus is on the offender, isn't it? So it's just absolutely critical that we continue to share our stories as victims of crime. That needs to be at the centre of the government and the opposition's thinking, that's for sure. Well, one such brave person that I'm very grateful is able to come to the phone and share her family's story. It's Caroline Barnes. Now, Caroline is a young mum. I won't go into too much detail because we want to hear from her directly. Caroline, welcome to the talk show. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
As I said, thank you for being with us. I think a lot of people, I guess understandably, are reluctant to speak up if they've been a victim of crime. So I absolutely commend you for sharing your story, and I'm sure it will inspire others to come forward. So look, let's get into it, Caroline. Reading here in the paper today, 4 days after your car was stolen, you're a mum of four, you were targeted again by masked intruders. If you can, Caroline, just paint a bit of a picture. First of all, about the incident involving your car being stolen. When did it happen and what happened there?
It was actually my husband's ute. So both of our cars were stolen sort of 12 months prior and then as well. So we'd only just got replaced his ute, you know, with all of the issues with getting a new car and all that sort of stuff at the moment. We're small business owners too, where he's a builder. So that makes things hard without having a ute. Anyway, it was stolen on Sunday morning, I guess, early hours. I just actually got a knock at the door to say that somebody had found his wallet in the creek, and then I looked out the front and his vehicle was stolen. It all had gone. And so that was awful in itself, and had us on edge a bit as it was. And then, and the following weekend within early hours of the Saturday morning, I woke up to a noise in the house thinking it was my two-year-old son, because he's in his own bed now and, you know, can often get up in the middle of the night.
Yes.
was pretty surprised to see that it wasn't him. And it was so thankfully the kids were still asleep when it all sort of happened. But I noticed them in the house and, you know, they saw me. So went to run past me and sort of pushed me out of the way. And I screamed for my husband, who's jumped up out of bed very quickly, sort of by the sound of my voice, he knew something was wrong. So, and he was able to sort of, I think he sort of tackled one of them. And anyway, they had a bit of a scuffle and on the way out. And and then he got hit over the head, and he ended up having quite a big cut across his face, like all the way down his face, actually, like a bruised nose and eyes and all that. So it was, you know. And, so it was pretty awful. Again, like I said, thankfully my kids didn't see a whole lot. They definitely knew there was something going on. But, I was able to sit back and sort of protect them in the bedroom while everything was going on.
Well, we've got a 15-month-old at home and a 12 and a 10-year-old. So, Caroline, I can only imagine, had some chills down the spine when you were describing hearing a sound and you woke up thinking it was your two-year-old, but it wasn't at all. Now, these grubs, the offenders who broke in, I mean, how many were there? How old do you think they were?
There was two of them. My husband seemed to think, look, it all happened so quickly.
Yes.
He seems to think they were definitely not young, but still teenagers. Would have been sort of probably 17, I reckon. I know it's generally the younger ones that will generally come in and do the break-ins and do all the hard stuff because they want to get into less trouble, it seems. They.
And what happened then? So your husband has been attacked there, and and then what? You've obviously just called 000, or what happened when all this was going on?
I was calling the police. Like I said, it all happened pretty quickly. It was pretty terrifying because I didn't know what was going on in at the time. They basically came through a door that we've got from our back patio into the bathroom.
Right.
So at this stage, they're having a bit of a scuffle in the bathroom. So I'm just sitting in the room with the kids talking to the triple O operator, and he's trying to get the police there as quick as they can. My husband was able to hold one of them down, but his friends came back to sort of, and was the one that hit him over the head.
Right.
So they've run out, and he's tried to chase them down the street and tried to you know, we just wanted to sort of try and hold on to one while wait for the police to get there, obviously. But the police were pretty quick to rock up, which was good, and take the evidence. There was a few different things lying around, because obviously they had shirts around their faces and hats and things. So they were able to sort of get some evidence from all of that. So that was sort of, I think the biggest thing after the whole thing was the realization, sort of, when we sat down with my husband, and he was sort of like, "What if, like, that could have gone a lot worse? You know, what if they had a weapon or
a knife or something?
Which could so easily happen and has happened. Like, we've heard stories of that happening, you know. And what if one of my children was awake at the time and saw them before I did? And what a terrifying, traumatic thing for them. I think that was the biggest thing for me, is how do you explain it to your kids, and what if they see something more next time?
And it's gut-wrenching, Caroline. It's absolutely gut-wrenching. And now tell us just quickly then, in terms of the way they actually broke in, because this is what gets me. You see on Facebook in particular, in some crime groups, people sharing photos of how their doors are dead bolted, they've got security screen doors, you know, and they're just is now almost entering by force, particularly if people aren't home. But tell us the actual physical mechanics of how they got in. You said they got in through a back door, but how have they actually got into the house?
So we have one door handle on the whole house. We've got a few doors that enter from the outside, sort of, and we had one door handle that was still that the round one that they crunch, so it was locked. They had crunched it and opened in through that way. So we actually found then the next morning that they had actually been to almost every door handle around the house, from the front and everything, because we've got it all, obviously got everything locked as much as we can. There was even one door with that same handle that they'd crunched, but on the inside of the door had one of those just simple sliding locks, not quite a chain lock, but just a sliding lock that had been locked. So they'd crunched the door handle but couldn't get in because that sliding lock was locked. So thankfully, but we've now obviously changed all of our doors to, you know, key lock, lock and bolt, dead bolt,
as well. Well, talk to us, Caroline. I mean, it may still be sinking in, of course, but just tell us about, look, for the violation, obviously, apart from the kids, but just from your own mind, I mean, the violation, the fright, and it's almost a traumatic experience. You're sounding very brave at the moment, but tell us about that.
When your kids are, it's actually funny, my husband and I, the way that we were talking about it is we couldn't believe how much we sort of just, when I hear a noise, you sort of jump towards it when you've got kids. And I remember thinking, when I didn't have kids, I wonder what I'd do if something like that had happened to me. But it's funny how your natural instincts kick in when your kids are involved in that sort of situation. But now that has happened, not a day, not a night goes by where I don't wake up to a noise and just envision that in the middle of the night. And, of course, I'm still breastfeeding my 4-month-old baby as well. So I'm quite often up at 2 a.m. in the morning, and, you know, every noise, every person that you can hear talking down the street, you know, every now and then there's people that might get home late and it's midnight or something and you think, who's that? What's that? Is that someone out the front, or is that, you know? And it's awful. I mean, even a week or two after that had all happened, my husband, he works from home sometimes, and he saw a group of youths casing the street and trying to, in the middle of the day, you know, walking into the neighbour's house to see if anyone was home. And they saw him, so sort of walked back out, but looked at him as if to say, hey, what are you going to do about it, sort of thing. And that, it definitely sends you on edge. Definitely on edge with every noise or everything that you hear of it happens.
Well, that's called trauma. Whatever way you put it, that's actually called, it's a form of trauma, because now Yeah, you're almost conditioned. You're waiting for something terrible to happen. Every noise, as you said, and like you said, a four-month-old. I mean, you've got a four-month-old, a two-year-old. It's just absolutely disgusting. It's frightening as well. Caroline, let's turn then finally before I let you go, and you've been very generous with your time, so we thank you again. What would you like to say to the politicians? Now, I know for a fact that, you know, an army of spin doctors are listening to radio, they're reading the paper, they're checking what the mood of the city is, given that they are here in town. You've got a great chance now. What would you like to say? What would you like to say to the Premier, look, for example?
It's hard, isn't it? You could go on forever, but look, a big one for me is the next generation. So I've got, you know, my four-year-old, my two-year-old, and this is the next generation growing up now. And what are we creating for them? Are they going to be living in fear with all of this? Like this is their experience now. So I just there's so much, and it also, I feel like I want to stop the tokenism. A lot of it, we've got people in cities and telling us that, you know, this is how it needs to happen. And it's like, well, I'm sure if someone broke into your house in the middle of the night, things would change real quick, wouldn't they? So it's, I feel like there's just money thrown into things just for a tokenistic, oh, look what we're doing, rather than actually looking at the actual numbers, looking at actually what's happening. And why do we have incarceration rates of Indigenous, for example? Or why are there kids that are 10 and 12 years old on the streets at 2 a.m? Start from there. Maybe they don't want to go home. So why don't they want to go home? What, you know, let's actually look at the root cause of the issue, not just, I mean, we definitely, our laws need to change in the way of, you know, you do the crime, you need to get punished. There's no accountability for anything. And we've got to stop making excuses. That's what I teach my kids. It doesn't matter. I don't care, you know, that don't give me a sub story. What you've done was wrong. That's full stop. Mm. So, yeah, done making excuses for it.
Yeah, exactly. Does it feel to you, Caroline, that it's just not a number one priority for the government? It just seems that, yeah, you know, they throw a bit of money here and there and they say that they're listening. But to you, does it just feel like they're not treating it with the seriousness that the situation deserves?
100%. They're not. Again, like I said, it seems tokenistic. It's like we're putting numbers here, or look, we're, you know, this is what we've done, and then it'll blow over. That's my only fear for this week. It's as if everyone's talking about it and it's been a massive issue, and that's great, but let's hope it doesn't blow over after this week. It needs to, it's a massive issue. And we talk about, Cairns has always been an economy built on tourism, and it's sort of been up and down, and we want to build this beautiful city into something that people want to move to and want to live in. Right now, it's totally, we're small business owners. So our job sites, all of our job sites have been targeted as well. And we've had multiple break-ins. I've had multiple insurance claims. So all of our insurance is not just our home. All of our premiums have skyrocketed because of it. So that's another, you know, it becomes a money issue as well. So it's not encouraging for anybody to move up here with their family or to live here or to stay here if this sort of thing going on. So it's a massive issue. And now that it's become ingrained more and more, it's like it's going to take a very long time to fix. But we need to start now. Like it's something needs to start happening now with these youths. They're our next generation. So if we don't start giving them something to be proud of and a reason to not want to go on the streets and not want to do these stupid things that they all seem to think are cool, give them something to be proud of.
Very well said. Yeah. Finally, Caroline, I know I've kept you for longer than than I should have.
Sorry.
No, it's my fault. I keep asking you more questions because, it's just such an important story to tell. Look, finally, Caroline, will this issue of crime, given what's happened to you and your family, will this issue of crime be the number one factor about where you cast, I don't need to ask you who you're going to vote for next year, it's state election, but will it decide who you vote for, this issue of crime?
It'll definitely be a major factor, that's for sure. It'll be a huge factor. I mean, if David Crisafulli is talking the way he's talking, he sounds really well. So if he can seem to pull through with a few things, then, you know, then I think that'd be great. But yeah, it's definitely a major factor right up there for sure. I mean, it's the
Very good. All right. Well, you've spoken absolutely brilliantly and bravely as well. So look, give your kids a hug, most importantly. And Caroline Barnes, thank you so much for your time on the 4CA Talk. Talk show this morning.
No worries, and thank you as well. Thanks for taking the time, and thanks for bringing it, for still talking about it, I suppose.
No problem at all. All right, thanks, Caroline.
Thanks, bye.
That's mum of four, small business owner, and very, very brave local resident, Caroline Barnes. Wow, it's just horrifying, isn't it? It gives me, it does actually just give me chills.